19. And we're going to continue. We've been teaching for about 15 months. We've been teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians on a Wednesday night here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And we have made our way now to the 15th chapter. And of course, this is the great resurrection chapter. How appropriate. Here we are just a week and a half away from Easter Sunday, and we're about halfway through this chapter. Lord willing, we'll be teaching the end of this chapter next Wednesday night. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I'm going to direct your attention to verse number 30, and we're going to pause. We're just going to read about four or five verses, and then I'm going to pause in the middle of this chapter, and we are going to be introduced to the theme for tonight in these verses, but we're going to go to several other places in the Bible. By the way, what happens on Wednesday night at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, for those of you that aren't used to tuning in, you know what it is? It's Bible study and prayer meeting. Amen. You know what? You just can't beat it. You can't beat it. I know everybody else thinks they have a better idea, and they've switched to all kinds of newfangled things that are more entertainment-based, but I'm telling you, if you want a strong church, and you want strong Christians in your church, you know what you do? You just get into the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, and then as a church congregation, get on your knees and just tell God how much you need Him. And you know what? That worked 100 years ago, and it's still working here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so we'll read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 30, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then these three words: I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this wonderful portion of Scripture. And Lord, what an astounding proclamation that Paul makes, Lord, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he pens the words, I die daily. Lord, I pray that by the end of tonight, Christians will have a grasp, an understanding on what it means to live in the power of the resurrection. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help, please, this preacher as I teach the Word of God tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me do a quick review. I won't, of course, go over everything that we've covered in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, but we're introduced to the theme of the resurrection. And there has been some question in the Church of Corinth here. Some people even disputing the idea of the resurrection of the dead. And we see how Paul, boy, he adamantly defends the resurrection. And he says several things. Number one, we learn that the resurrection is part of the gospel. And when that's introduced to us in the first four verses. And then number two, the resurrection was verified by numerous eyewitnesses. Verse 5, 6, 7, 8. Peter, the apostles, 500 brethren, many who were still alive at the writing of 1 Corinthians here. James, all the apostle, and Paul said, last of all, I saw Jesus, the resurrected Christ. We also seen that the resurrection should be vehemently defended. In verse 12 through 20, he began to propose the idea, what would be true if there were no resurrection? He said, well, if that's not true, then Christ is not risen. Our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. The apostles are false witnesses. Ye are yet in your sins. Those dead loved ones who trusted Christ, you know what? They're perished. You'll never see them again. We are in this life most miserable without hope if there is no resurrection. But I love verse 21 or verse 20, where after he had opposes that hypothetical situation, he emphatically says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And then we seen the last time we met together on a Wednesday and studied out of this chapter that the resurrection defeated our last enemy, and that last enemy was death. Now, that's the importance of the resurrection. That's what we've learned so far. But all of a sudden now, Paul says, I'm going to take that doctrine that's so important, and I want to show you how you can live and how that doctrine can affect every single day of your life, how you as a born-again Christian can learn to live in the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. I want to draw your attention to verse number 31 again. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Now, I'm going to give you several points. One of our men that came to one of our prayer meetings just recently came to me and said, "Preacher, you know what? I can't wait till you start 1 Corinthians again." He said, "The last thing you said before we got off on some other subjects," he said, "was you mentioned that you were going to teach on how to live in the power of the resurrection." He said, "I can't wait to hear that taught." Well, I hope you're tuning in because we're going to teach it tonight. Let me give you several points, folks, because listen to me, as Christians, we can live in the power of the resurrection. What's that mean? The same power that was used by God to raise his son from the dead, that power is available for me and you to live in a way that is supernatural. Let me give you several points. Listen to each one. Number one, in every Christian's life, there needs to be a voluntary daily death. In every Christian's life, there needs to be a voluntary daily death. What do you mean voluntary? That means that you decide to do it. You can't do it for somebody else, and nobody else can do it for you. Nobody can make you do this as a born-again Christian, but I believe at the beginning of every day, there ought to be a voluntary daily death. You know what Paul said here? I die daily. Why? Because someone made him? No, because he chose to. Because he began every morning by saying, "Lord, before I put my feet on the floor, before I can go out into this world, something inside of me needs to die. I'm not going to be able to live in the power of the resurrection unless first there is a death." In every Christian's life, there needs to be a voluntary daily death. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Number two, this commitment to a voluntary daily death was made the day we followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Now think about this. I'm afraid sometimes people do not realize the importance of baptism. Some folks have overemphasized and perverted the doctrine of baptism and try to connect it to the idea of salvation. Folks, you are saved by faith, by grace through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what? You're saved by faith. You're saved by the grace of God. And you know what? But the first step of obedience is baptism. Now, why? Why in the world of all the things that God would ask someone who's been newly saved to do, why would he ask them to be baptized? Now, I'm going to read out of Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to read the first four verses. Romans 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? He's talking to Christians. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, folks, listen to me. When I talk about living in the power of the resurrection, that verse right there introduces us to the idea, the doctrine of living in the power of the resurrection, and it begins in baptism. You know what baptism is a picture of? Baptism is a picture of course, the death and the burial underneath the water, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not just a picture of the gospel. It is a public declaration by the believer that as Jesus died, I also want to die to some things. As he was buried, I want to bury some things. And I want to be raised again to walk in newness of life. Now notice what this verse said again. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ. Now wait a minute. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know what that means? That means that the same power that the Father used to raise his son from the dead, if we choose, number one, to voluntarily to die daily, then you know what? We can also experience that resurrection power and be able to walk that day in newness of life. It's available to every Christian, but it's not going to happen if you don't die. It's not going to happen if you don't take the time to die. Say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying the first thing we ought to do every day is die. That's what I'm saying. Stay with me. Because if there's no death, how can there be a resurrection? Which brings us to number three. This daily dying is necessary so that we can begin the day properly ordered. Now, this is where I'm going to ask you to stay with me for just a minute, and I think I'll keep your attention some. But folks, when we die to self, we're doing it for a reason. When Paul said, I die daily, he's talking about I die to Paul. He's saying, I'm dying to the flesh. And he did it very purposefully. You know why? Because Paul understood his parts, understood his makeup. Stay with me. This is going to be a review for Blessed Hope Baptist Church people. For some of you tuning in, you may never have heard this talk before, or it's been a while, and I want you to stay with me. Brother Nathan, can I have you come help me? And Brother Gordon, can I have you come help me just a minute here? And Jocelyn, can I have you come help me just a minute here? I want to put Jocelyn on the very end, if I can, and I'll position her. Let me have you, Jocelyn, stand just about right here, okay? And I think you'll still be in the camera there. And then Brother Nathan, if you stand by your daughter, and then if you will, Brother Gordon, stand right there. That'd be wonderful, okay? There we go. Body, soul, and spirit. Now hold those up so make sure the camera can see them. Now, when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, let us make man in our likeness, in our image. God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Just like God created, God is three in one, mankind, every single one of us is made up of a body and a soul and a spirit. Now, let me explain what happened in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, God said, now listen, you've got free reign of this place. And God made paradise. He made paradise. And you know what he said? He said to Adam, he said to Eve, there's only one rule. And this is the rule. There's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you don't eat of that fruit. Now, folks, think about that. Aren't we as mankind, aren't we a mess? God created paradise, placed man in paradise, and had one rule. And you know what? You know the story, Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says that Eve saw the fruit and she looked at it and she saw that it was good and she thought it was good. And the devil checked her. And she broke God's law and she sinned. Now watch this. What is sin? The Bible says that sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is when God makes a law or makes a rule and we transgress against that rule or break that rule. That's sin. And it's still sin today in each and every one of our hearts. Doesn't matter if the world and all of mankind want to redefine right and wrong in their own eyes. God's word still declares what he believes is right and what he says is right. And you know what? If we go against it, we sin against the God of the universe. Now, he said this to Adam and Eve. He didn't only say, don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said this, in the day that you eat of it, you'll surely die. Now, watch this, folks. Adam and Eve was body, soul, and spirit. And you know what? When they ate of the fruit that day, their body didn't die. They didn't take a bite of the fruit and kill over dead. They were still standing. They were still breathing. So their body didn't die. By the way, the soul of man will never die. We have all been given a never dying, ever living soul. And by the way, that soul will go somewhere for all of eternity, either into heaven to enjoy the blessings of heaven or to have to experience the torments of hell. But a man's soul cannot die. So what died, preacher? The day that they took the bite of that fruit, what died? Well, what died was the spirit of man. And so the minute that they ate of that fruit, they became spiritually dead. Now, wait a minute. Mankind used to be a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, mankind is a body and a soul. Still has a spirit, but the spirit is dead in trespasses and sin. This is the part of mankind that could communicate with God. This is the part of mankind. Listen, God, the Bible says if you're going to worship God, you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so all of a sudden now there is an ought between man and God. There's something that's broken the fellowship between man and God. And you know what, folks? The only way for God to be able to get man back in a place where he can continue to fellowship with him like he did in the Garden of Eden was he's got to do something to get this spirit back alive. Now, folks, that's where Jesus came in. And man alive, you know, God, for God so loved the world And he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. By the way, we all know, most of us know, that's from John 3:16. Okay, but John chapter 3, if you read the whole chapter, it's a conversation between Jesus and a man by the name of Nicodemus. And he's discussing the concept of being born again. Matter of fact, Jesus said, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does that even mean? When Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, you know what? He was buried and rose again the third day. You know what? He defeated death. All right? That means he has the power now of the resurrection. That last enemy of death was defeated. And so now God holds down to each and every one of us the gift of eternal life. Once you get saved, you have eternal life. And God borns you into his family. He says, so what happens? If you read that in John chapter 3, if you read that conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus Christ, you know what the Bible says? It says that which is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus says, how do I be born again? Do I enter a second time in my mother's womb? He said, no, that which is born of the capital S Spirit is small s Spirit. So when somebody gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of them and he rebirths that part of man that had died because of sin. So let's suppose this is one person, not three, and this one person, three parts, turns to Jesus and receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. The minute that they do, the Holy Spirit comes in, rebirths that spirit, and all of a sudden now man becomes as God intended him to be. Body, soul, and spirit. But the Holy Spirit just does not come in to rebirth the spirit and then leave. The Bible says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? So now mankind looks a lot different. Let's go back a minute. Put that one down. All right. This is what everyone looks like who's never been saved. You're watching this today. This is the reality of your situation. You have a living body. You have an ever-living soul. But you are spiritually dead. But the minute that you get saved, Holy Spirit comes into you, rebirths that. Hey, that person looks a lot different. Now they got God indwelling them. They have a reborn spirit that now is able to communicate with God. Now, why are you going through all this, preacher? Because we may be like this when we get saved, but that don't mean that we're necessarily ordered properly. Because you know what? This body of ours, this flesh, Bible goes as far as to say this, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. And the one thing that will fight against you living a victorious Christian life is the flesh, the body. Because you know what? We have that old man, that sin nature still, and we're going to have it till the day we get, we die and we awaken the presence of the Lord. We're going to fight it. We're going to have it. Now that brings me back to being able to teach on this matter of how to live in the power of the resurrection. You say, preacher, you said number one, that every Christian needs to voluntarily die every single day. Yes, yes. And if you don't, you're going to have trouble all day long. What part needs to die? Well, obviously you're not going to do anything to the Holy Spirit. He's eternal. And you know what? Your spirit's been reborn and your soul's never going to die. But you know what? For that day, and this is why we do live the Christian life one day at a time, folks. One day at a time. You know what we need to do? We need to come to the Lord first thing every single morning, and we need to take this flesh, and we need to just say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to crucify myself. I'm going to crucify my flesh. Lord, I'm not going to live in the power of my flesh. I'm not going to let my flesh and its lusts and desires control my life this day. Lord, before I walk out of the door, what I want to do is die. Because when I die, then I have the opportunity to live in the power of the resurrection. Now watch this. You know what? What we want to do next is we want to get this thing ordered properly. You know, go ahead and put your thing back up there. If you don't crucify that every single day and you don't put reins on that and controls on that. You may be born again and this may be what you look like, but that don't mean that you're living the Christian life very successfully. There's a lot of people that are saved that are a mess. I mean, you know what? They live in total defeat all the time. The devil just takes them out every single day. They're not making any difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you why that's true. Let me have Jocelyn, if you can come stand in front of your dad, and then if you'll stand behind Brother Nathan there, and I'll stand all the way like here, all the way. Now, guys, let's hold our signs up as high as we can a little bit there, so try to show air that people can kind of see them. Yeah, this is interesting camera. It's interesting camera work here. Let me tell you what, a lot of Christians are living just like this. This is the order. You say, preacher, you talked about being properly ordered. This is the order of a lot of Christians. You know what? They may be saved, which means they have a reborn spirit, and they even have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. But let me tell you this. Their flesh is in charge. This is what the whole book of 1 Corinthians is about, is God trying to fix a bunch of carnal Christians. You know what carnal means? Look it up. I'm not making this up. It means fleshly, flesh-driven, flesh-controlled Christians. So we have a lot of people that are born again. They got saved, but they are living a defeated Christian life. They're not living in the power of the resurrection because, you know what? Their flesh controls their soul, and the Spirit is way back here, and the Holy Spirit is being quenched and grieved, and the Holy Spirit was not given to us so he would be a caboose on the back of our train. Okay, now it's time for every single one of us to listen to the Spirit of God. I don't care if you're here in the room or you're watching this at home. Is this the order of your life? I'm talking to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I know you're saved, but why is it that some saved people, you can't tell much difference between the way they're living and the way a lost person's living? It's because, you know what? You haven't learned how to live in the power of the resurrection. I'm going to help you. Or you refuse. You might know it, but you refuse to live in the power of the resurrection. Now, this is not how God wants us to live. He wants us to properly order ourselves. Now, if you let the flesh control your life, I'm going to tell you something. You are going to live a defeated Christian life, and you're not going to make any difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved. You'll go to heaven, but you'll stand before him one day ashamed to look in his face. You know why? You got saved. But you would not take your flesh off the throne of your life. Now, why does Paul say, I die daily? You know what he's saying? He's saying, now something has to give. Okay, because you read, by the way, go ahead and read Galatians chapter 6. The Bible says the Spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. And these two are constantly fighting a battle. And one of them's going to win. But the Spirit-filled man, the I die daily, the Christian that learns to live in the power of the resurrection. Let me tell you what he does every single day. He says to the old flesh, all right, flesh, you know what? I'm crucifying you. You're not going to control my life. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring you back here, and I'm going to put you all the way to the back, and the flesh is going to be the caboose. And by the way, I'm going to bring the Spirit up here, and I'm going to move the soul here, and then I'm going to surrender my life to the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of me. That's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit shouldn't be the caboose in our life. The Spirit ought to be the one that's running the show. That's why it's so important that we as Christians, we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. We have a member of the Trinity, the triune God, living inside of us. But wait a minute. He may be living there. He may be, as one preacher said, the resident, but is he the president? Is he leading? Or is he stuck in the back being grieved and quenched because we're so concerned about seeing that our flesh gets what it wants that we grieve the Spirit of God every day of our life? Now, folks, I'm talking about living in the power of the resurrection. There's a reason that Paul said, I die daily. And folks, you can get this thing ordered right and do it for one day. And a day later, if you're not careful, that old man raises right back up and wants to get in the front of the line. And so this is why Paul said, I die daily. Now remember this. You say, preacher, why is it important to die daily? Because Paul says, I have to make sure that I am properly ordered before I leave every single morning or I'm going to fail in my Christian life. Thank you, everybody, for that. I sure appreciate the help. Good job. Now, let's review. Number one. It is in every Christian's life, there needs to be a voluntary daily death. Nobody can do this for you. You have to decide to do it for yourself. Number two, this commitment to a voluntary daily death was made the day we followed the Lord and believers' baptism. You know what we said to everybody that came and watched us get baptized? You know what we said to God who was watching that day? I want to be buried in the likeness of his death and raised to walk in newness of life. Number three, the daily dying is necessary because we got to get this flesh crucified and put to the back of the road so that the Holy Spirit can lead and control our lives, which brings us to number four. This voluntary daily dying is necessary, watch this, because there can be no resurrection without a death. No resurrection without a death. Now stay with me. I want to see if I can help you here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. God led Paul to write these words. I am crucified with Christ. Listen to this. I am crucified with Christ. Watch this. Nevertheless, I live. Why? Because Christ was crucified. But you know what? Nevertheless, he lives. He defeated death. He defeated sin that day. And you know what he's telling all of us? The same power that allowed me to defeat death and defeat sin that day, that's available to you. You can spend every day of your life walking and living in the power of the resurrection. Resurrection power. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Listen, folks, we can't do this in our own strength. This isn't a matter of willpower or turning over a new leaf or some mind game that we play. You know what it is? It's the crucifixion of the flesh, a personal decision, a surrendering and yielding to the Holy Spirit and his control in our life, and reshuffling things so that the Holy Spirit is communicating with our spirit, and our spirit is communicating with our soul, and our flesh is dead, and we can live the spiritual Christian life. We can only do that if we live in the power of the resurrection. I love Philippians chapter 3. If you got a Bible, turn over there. It's worth seeing. We need to read it. Philippians chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse number 7. Come on, I'm helping some of you right now. Well, preacher, I'm saved, but I just can't overcome this, and I can't overcome that, and I can't win at this, and I can't control my mouth, and I can't quit cussing, and I can't quit lying, and I can't quit lusting, and I can't give up the cigarettes, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and they're just all the time, you know. Well, I'd like to be a witness, but I'm scared, and I can't speak up, and I can't. Well, your flesh sure can't. You're right. Your flesh can't do any of that. And you know what? If you're trying to do it in your power, it's never going to get done. Stop living in your power and live in the power of the resurrection. He said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I'm stuck in this flesh, but I don't have to be controlled by this flesh. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Then Paul, I almost hear Paul's heart scream out these next few phrases, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. What I'm saying, folks, is there's not a death, there's not a chance for a resurrection. He said, I want to know him. Well, how bad do you want to know him, Paul? Here's all this fleshly stuff. Here's your Hollywood movies. Here's your rock and roll music. Here's your lust of the flesh. Come on, here's the pornography. Come on, here's all the world has to offer. And he said, I'll count all that, but dung, that I may win him. So he says, I will crucify my flesh, and I'll look at everything that the flesh wants, and I'll turn my back on it. Why? That I might win Christ. Not just win Christ, but he said that I may know him. And so that I can live in the power of his resurrection. And by the way, you say, does it require a little bit of suffering? And the fellowship of his suffering. Jesus suffered for us. Can't we suffer a little for him? being made conformable unto his death. So you know what he says? He said, hey, you know what? It's possible, there it is right there, to live in the power of his resurrection. But you're not going to do it with the flesh leading the party up here. You're going to have to die every single day, and you're going to have to volunteer for that death. Nobody can do it for you. And you need to do it, you know what? By the way, when you got baptized, that's what you told people you were going to do. So you need to do it. You know what? Jesus was willing to do it for you to give you eternal life. You can't do it for him so you can live one day in the power of the resurrection, because if you just do it for one day and realize how different your life is, you'd probably want to do it the next day. And so that's what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, Paul got to the point where he said, hey, show me everything the world has. I don't care what it can offer the flesh. I don't care how much sin is out there. I don't care how much wickedness is out there. I don't care how many friends it costs me. There's something that I want more than I want anything the world has to offer, and that is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Let people say anything they want to about me. They said it about Christ. Let them say it about me. I'm going to stand with Jesus. I'm so tired, to be honest with you, just weary in my heart and soul sometimes, watching Christians spend all of their time, spending more time trying to impress the world and feed the flesh, and they don't seem to care nothing about the one who died for them and give them eternal life. Good night. There's a better way to live your life. There's a better way to live your life. Brings us to number five. Living in the power of the resurrection does not allow you to achieve a state of sinlessness, but does allow you to achieve a state of sinning less. Let me say that again. Some of our Pentecostal charismatic brothers have taken the teaching that I'm giving you right now, and they've carried it to an extreme that the scripture does not allow. I want to take the time to go to Romans chapter 6 tonight. So flip over to Romans chapter 6. And I want to show you this. Listen, it doesn't mean that if we crucify the flesh and get him back here and get ourselves properly ordered and die daily, that sometime along the way, we're not going to mess up. We're not going to say something we shouldn't, or do something we shouldn't, or have a brief thought that we shouldn't have had. But there's a difference between sinning and living as a servant of sin. I'm going to show you that that's true. Go, if you will, to Romans chapter number 6. Look at verse number 5, if you will. And this whole subject is about this idea of dying to self and living in the power of the resurrection. Look at verse 5, Romans 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, that's what we're talking about. Paul says, I do it every day. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. There it is. Power of the resurrection, okay? Knowing this, look at verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not, what's the next word? Serve sin. Doesn't say that henceforth we should not sin. I talked to a lady one day, got caught up in this false doctrine of sinless perfection, and she told me, I said, ma'am, are you saying that you haven't sinned? You didn't sin today. You didn't sin yesterday. She said, I haven't sinned in 3 years. Well, let me tell you something. She just did when she said that, because she told a big fat lie. Now, I'm not talking about becoming to a point. No, don't take this where the Bible doesn't say. It does not say that henceforth we should not sin. It says henceforth that we should not serve sin. Now, folks, listen. When we order ourselves properly, and you know what? When the Holy Spirit is in control and we're filled with the Spirit of God, and you know what? That Holy Spirit is directing our spirit, and we're, because of that, having spiritual thoughts. Listen, even in our best state of being a servant to God and a servant to righteousness, you know what you're going to find out each and every day? You still need 1 John 1:9. Because you know what, folks, as much as we crucify the flesh and as much as we try to keep the flesh down, you know what you're going to find out? That old man's still there. And you know what? It's still a battle. But you know, there's a difference between waking him up, raising him from the dead, bringing him back and saying, I'm going to serve you. And this is what the Bible's talking about in this portion of Scripture, is the difference between serving righteousness or serving sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. It doesn't say free from sin. It says freed from sin. Okay, what that is talking about is that, listen, if you are owned by a master and you get freed, he's no longer your master. That's what it's talking about here. Are you with me? And then we see in verse number 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Preacher, what are you talking about, this dying daily? How do you do that? That verse just told you how to do it. You said, before I leave the house, it's voluntary death. You know what it is? Reckoning yourself to be dead unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ. You know what you ought to do? I heard one old preacher say that you ought to use your bed as an altar, and before you ever crawl out of bed, just put yourself on the altar and say, Lord, I do reckon myself dead unto sin. I am not going to let sin reign in my mortal body. I am not going to let it be the master. I'm not going to live in bondage. It is not going to rule my life and control my life. I'm crucifying my flesh. I'm dying right now to that. And I am letting the Holy Spirit be the king of my life. And I know he'll point me to Jesus. And I know he'll point me to the scripture. And I'm still going to mess up along the way, Lord. But I'm going to tell you this. You're my master, not sin. You're my master, not the flesh. That's what that declaration is. That's what's going on there. That's why it says in verse 12, let not sin therefore, what's the word? Reign in your mortal body. It doesn't say you're never going to sin, but listen, when you sin, you know what the word sin means? If you look up the word sin and you study the word, it means to miss the mark. That means you're trying to, come on, any of you guys that have shot guns or shot bow and arrows, you're trying to hit the mark. You're trying to hit the mark and you miss. Listen, there's a difference between sin and evil. Evil is not even trying to hit the mark. Evil's getting up every day and saying, you know what, Jesus, sure glad you died for me. Sure glad I'm a Christian. Can't wait to leave the house and go out and feed my flesh. Not even trying. Listen, Christian, some of you have given up. You have the Holy Spirit who could give you the power to live a victorious Christian life, but you're so given over to the flesh that you live defeated. But that could end in the morning. That could end before you go to bed tonight. Don't sit there and say, I can't. Yeah, you can't, you're right. But Christ living through you, you can. What I'm saying is, some of you surrender. Don't give up the fight. Preacher, it's a battle. Yeah, it's a battle you fight every single day. Fight it. Because there's so much at stake. Souls are at stake. And folks, Jesus, good night. We're going to stand before him one of these days. Do you want to stand before him and have to say, Lord, I had the power within me all those years to live for you, but I just wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't access that power. Look, if you will, in verse number 16. Know you not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. Did you get that? To whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Come on, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that die daily thing. Every single morning, you got to figure out who's going to be the boss that day, who's going to be the master of your life that day. Paul said, I die daily. Flesh wants to run me. I kill the flesh. I crucify flesh. I stick him on the back of the line here. And I put Jesus Christ in his proper place. I rededicate myself to living for God. I communicate with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me and say, listen, please fill me and direct me and Lord, convict me. And even along the way, if I stumble or fall or I mess up and I miss the mark, convict me and help me to get right, get back on track right away. Listen, folks, a victorious Christian life is not a sinless Christian life. But I'm going to tell you, if you live the way I'm teaching you tonight, you can sin less. You won't be sinless, but you can sin a lot less. And you can live in victory. Look at verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. It's all talking about who's going to be in charge. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, folks, listen. Let me summarize this. Preacher, How in the world can I live in the power of the Holy Spirit of God? I'm going to walk you through it. Here we go. Just stay with me, all right? Number one, every morning you choose to crucify the flesh. You choose to crucify that old man. Before you leave the house, you get yourself in properly order. Number two, properly order your remaining parts, yielding them to the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Number three, ask God to deliver you from the power of sin and help you to live in the power of Christ's resurrection. I mean, you go to God and you say, God, you promised that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that that's available to me today, and I want to live in that power. Number four, yield your members as servants of righteousness to God. Because, listen, whoever you yield yourself to, that's who your master is. You can yield yourself to sin, and sin will be the master. You can yield yourself to righteousness, and righteousness will be the master. Number five, declare yourself a servant of righteousness and denounce sin's dominion over you. I think you ought to say it out loud. So all the demons of hell are listening. God, I want to just say it out loud. God is king today. And God is the one who's my master. And sin, you know, I denounce you. And demons of hell, I denounce you. Now I'm going to live in the power of the resurrection. Number six, be not deceived. You cannot live in the power of the resurrection while entertaining evil communications. Now, folks, I'm going to slip back just real quick. Same portion of scripture where Paul says, I die daily. A verse later, he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, you can get all of this taken care of and ordered, and you can die daily, and you can order things properly, and if you go out your door, and the first thing you do is start texting a bunch of backsliders and start hanging around a bunch of backsliders, you know what? You'll get reshuffled in no time flat. And it's so important. If you're going to live in the power of the resurrection, you know what? Why in the world would you walk out of a tomb and have an opportunity to live in the power of the resurrection and then go right over to a pile of dead bodies and lay down in the middle of them? I'm trying to help some of you. That's what you're doing with some of your backslidden friends every day. Some of you need to unlike. Some of you need to block numbers. You're never going to get victory over this. You can do this every single morning. But you know what? The problem is, listen, I couldn't do it as a teenager. You can't do it today. You cannot live a victorious Christian life by hanging around with a bunch of people that are more interested in feeding their flesh than they are glorifying the Father. You better choose your crowd, right? Number seven, commit your life to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That last verse, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That's all in that portion of scripture having to do with dying daily. He said, listen, you know what? You're going to go through this process, but there's two things you better remember. If you want to keep that order right, then you better avoid evil communications, because you know what? They're going to corrupt good manners. They're going to reshuffle the deck. And also he said, hey, there's a whole bunch of people out there that don't even know about Jesus. I speak this to your shame. What he was saying is, if you will die daily and you'll order yourself properly and you'll yield yourself as servants of righteousness instead of servants of sin, and you'll go out, and the most important thing that day is, you know what? I've got to live in such a way so I'm a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are lost people that need to hear the gospel, and they're not going to believe it from somebody who's living a hypocritical life. And you get involved in soul winning. You get involved in the bus ministry. You get involved in a jail ministry. You get busy knocking on doors and passing out tracts and telling people about Jesus. That will keep you properly ordered and give you more victory than any other thing. Folks, listen to me. What a truth. We can celebrate, and we will. A week from Sunday, we're going to celebrate Easter Sunday. And we can celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Then if we're not careful, every day of our Christian life, we can live as if it never even happened. And we can fail to access the same power in our everyday life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us.